are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the King's Men. I am Mark Houck, your host, with you second and fourth Friday of the month. Here we are, January 13th, Feast of St. Hilary of Poitiers. That's right, Poitiers, France. And we are here with you live today in Doylestown, 1570 AM studios, as well as we're broadcasting on 1420 Chester County in Coatesville. We will not, I was informed, be here with you on the fourth Friday. We'll be preempted by the March for Life coverage of EWTN, which is certainly fine. I'm looking at the March for Life from a previous march, and boy, that's what a wonderful gathering of pilgrims in Washington, D.C., to witness to the sanctity of all human life. So I pray that you will be heading down to D.C. for that. If you can, bring your family, bring your little ones. We used to bring the little ones. I have real little ones now, but we used to bring them down there, bundle them all up. And it's a wonderful witness to them. Another way to teach our children, to build that culture of life. So blessed to be back with you in the studios. I think we missed the end of December 23rd. I think there was some sickness in the family. My wife was sick. I had to attend to her. But here we are back. I hope you had a blessed Christmas and a happy start to your new year. And as we begin all good things, we'll begin with prayer. And usually we pray St. Augustine's Prayer of the Holy Spirit. But today I think we'll just invoke Our Lady to crush the head of the serpent Satan in our lives. And the reason I want to do that is I want to talk about sin today. And this program is going to be about sin and mortal sin, venial sin, what that all looks like. But I want to talk about specifically things that you don't often hear talked about. And that is coping with sin after we sin and prior to going to confession. In other words, how do you conduct yourselves after you've sinned, whether it's mortal or venial, prior to going to confession? How does God work in that situation? What's the dynamics emotionally, psychologically, spiritually that are taking place between the time of our fall and the time that we get to confession? I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about our response. I think that's the key, is our response after a fall. There's a the scripture passages that say, and I don't have the quote, the citation for you, but sin begets sin. Okay, it comes right out of the New Testament. Sin begets sin. I believe it's in one of St. Paul's letters. Sin begets sin. So whenever we sin, there's a great likelihood that we're going to sin again and sin soon, and oftentimes in a similar manner. So in other words, if we fall to some mortal sin, a grave matter, there's a great chance that we'll do it again. For instance, let's say you lie, okay? Let's use a lie, for example, and the lie just gets compounded. You make a lie, and then to cover up that lie, you have to lie again and so forth, and then the lie becomes larger and larger. There's an old VeggieTales that was about this happening, and they made light of it through this little Martian from outer space, this little ball that came from outer space. And the more this little VeggieTale character would lie, the larger the Martian got. It was an interesting point to make. But let's pray to Our Lady and ask her to be with us, to pray for us to help us cope with the wages of sin and to turn to her always for guidance, for intercession, to help us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We ask St. Augustine to pray for us. Of course, St. Hilary today on his feast day to pray for us. Fourth century saint, much like Augustine. Okay, let's talk about the Kingsmen briefly. If you're just tuning in, the Kingsmen is a layman's apostolate that has been here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia since 2004. We've been a part of the airwaves here at Holy Spirit Radio since 2006, and we are blessed to do this work full-time, outreach to men. Our mission is to build men up as leaders, protectors, and providers, and we do that through our education, formation, action, and healing programs. We have retreats for men. We have small men's groups for men. We have a healing retreat for men and a healing retreat for women. We have a call to arms or action initiatives like defending all human life, defending the babies in the womb. We fight pornography. We defend traditional marriage. We do men's conferences around the country, workshops. I'll be at the Catholic Man Up Philly men's conference on March 4th. I hope you'll be there down at St. Joseph University. We'll be at the Syracuse Catholic Men's Conference this year on March 25th. And we'll be at the Rapid City, South Dakota Catholic Men's Conference. That's Archbishop Shep Hugh's former diocese and Cardinal Supich's former diocese. In fact, Archbishop Shep Hugh, who was at the Diocese of Rapid City in South Dakota prior to going to Denver, his successor was Archbishop Supich, who is now Cardinal Supich in Chicago. So a great diocese, and I'll be giving keynote addresses there. So a little bit about the apostle. You can learn more at thekingsmen.org if you like. Check out our retreats. We have many retreats this year. Our Into the Wild retreats are very popular, and we will be doing some of those locally here in our Bucks County area. You can check that out at intothewildweekend.com. Learn more. There's PSAs are playing on Holy Spirit Radio. There's public service announcements whereby you'll hear advertisements for these retreats. So I hope you'll look into that if that's what you feel called to. We're going to be talking about sin today, as I said, and we need healing after sin. But specifically, after we've sinned, there is this dynamic that takes place in the human condition, in the human person, whereby our psyche, our emotional mindset, our self-worth, the way we feel about ourselves, gets severely damaged. And unless you have tools to deal with that, I would say your propensity to sin again is almost 100%. And to sin again in the same manner. I want to talk about that dynamic today because I don't think you hear this much. How do you deal with sin prior to getting the confession? How do you cope? What's the best way to combat the wages of sin if you're in venial sin or mortal sin? We'll talk about that today. So before we do that, I would challenge you to think about your New Year's resolution this year. How's it going? Have you made one yet? I would challenge you in this time before Lent to really reflect on your root sin, your dominant defect. What is your dominant defect? For me, as a man, it's really vanity. There are four dominant defects and roots, really three. Three root sins. They are sensuality, vanity, and pride. All of the ancients and the doctors in the church say that the sins in our lives, the ones that we deal with, all stem from the root sin of either pride, sensuality, or vanity. And we all have a little bit of everything. We all have a little bit of pride, a little bit of vanity, a little bit of sensuality. But one of them is more dominant than the next. Now, I don't know if you've looked into this or not, but but you should. You should look into what is my root sin? What is my dominant defect? And once you've identified the dominant defect in your life, that root sin, then you can begin to see, you know, all the other sins in your life, where it's coming from, and you can begin to combat it more effectively. But you have this awareness of where this is coming from so that you can heal. You can heal those areas of your life that might need to be healed, or you can best counter the vice. For instance, like if it's pride, let's say pride's your root sin. Okay, the root cause. This is where, 33.3% of all the sins are coming from is divided up into three. So, so if that's it, then humility is that counter virtue, right? So we need to focus in our lives, if we're dominant sin is pride, on the humility and acquiring humility. So in other words, engaging in activities that are going to foster more humility. Now, the greatest antidote for that and the greatest way to practice humility is to go to frequent confession. So as men and as apostle, I'm always talking to men about, you know, figuring this out, because we are all about at the Kingsman growing in virtue. How do we grow in virtue? Well, you need to know the virtues, right? The cardinal virtues, prudence, temperance, fortitude, justice, right? The four cardinal virtues, the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and love. You need to know those, of course. But all the other virtues, patience, again, humility being the counter to pride. So allowing yourself, and much the way that St. Therese allowed herself, not to be humiliated in the sense of seeking all sorts of humiliations, that's going to come. But when you are humiliated, embracing that humiliation. Okay, in other words, don't treat like, yes, I'm a doormat. Yes, I'm an awful human being. No, it just means don't try to defend yourself. If you're being humiliated or someone's humiliating you unjustly, maybe embrace that and say, you know what, I'm going to offer this up, even though I know it's not true, out of humility, to embrace the humility and the suffering that is available to me so that I can combat my root sin. You see, it sounds simple, but so hard to do because we're very justice oriented. No, this is an injustice. Someone is saying this about me. I need to defend myself. And we do this and we're on this witch hunt to clear our good name, for lack of a better way of saying it. Okay. Someone who struggles with the sin of pride probably gets what I'm saying right now. Let's talk about vanity. Now, vanity is cut from the same piece of cloth as pride. Now, this is my root sin. That is this obsession with wanting to be liked, wanting to be liked, people to like us, to like the way we look, to like the way we treat them. Everything's, again, me, me, me. Do you like me? Am I doing okay? How am I treating you? Everything's okay. I haven't hurt you, have I? Good. It's all about you. Everything comes back to you. If someone's upset, oh, wait, did I upset you? Okay, I didn't. Okay, good. Then I can deal with you. You follow me? Let's say someone's just upset. My wife will do this to me all the time, and she gets upset. And I'll say, well, what's wrong, hon? And I'm quickly probing to find out if I did something wrong. And then once I establish that I didn't do anything wrong, then I can kind of best minister to her. But the reality is, she says, why are you thinking of yourself? Think of me. See, that when you are a vain person, you are always thinking about yourself. Now, it doesn't mean you're thinking about yourself like what's in it for me. It just means you're always stroking your own ego to a sense, certain sense. You know, you give a presentation. Did you like it? Only tell me positive things about it. Did you like my radio show? Well, don't criticize me. Don't send me any negative mail. Just send me only positive things because I can't handle negativity. See, a vain person struggles with those things. And it's okay. We all struggle with it on some level, and we all want to be positively received, right? But when it's a disordered attachment to it, where you're seeking, okay, that positive affirmation, right? See, Christ didn't seek positive affirmation. Christ came to set the captives free, right? To set the sinners free, to release the prisoners, to speak the truth. He wasn't here for a popularity contest. He was here to save us from ourselves. Anyhow, point of the matter is we need to measure it. So vanity, you know, that may be yours. And once you establish that, then you can best be. So how do you best deal with vanity? Well, practice, again, that humility, of course. Practice embracing others' truth about you, whether you like it or not, in charity. So in charity, in love of others. Think of others' needs versus your own. So charity is really, I must become loving towards other people and their opinions, respecting that opinion, respecting their thoughts, right? Loving their position, even though I may not understand it, embracing it to the degree that I can, not owning it, but embracing it for the good of the relationship, for the good of their awareness that I am entering in as best I can into what they're trying to share with me. Okay? Doesn't mean you own or take on all their baggage. It just means out of charity of love of others, we forget ourselves and we love them, you see. And sensuality, you know, like, you know, the someone who struggles with, you know, the sensual pleasures, the food, the sexuality, you know, the things that feel good, you know, the temporal goods, food, sex, wine, you know, words, you know, I don't know, the sensual stuff that draws us into laziness, slothfulness, gluttonous behavior. You know, we're easily attracted into these things that make us feel good, the comfort foods, the comfort things, the comfort language, the comfort embraces. We're very sensual in that regard. And we get sucked into like seeking all this, you know, oh, this feels good. The new car smell, you know, the latest gadgets, right? You know, sensual, the food, ooh, a new restaurant, you know. We're drawn in, you know, to, oh, give me more of that, you know. So it I don't struggle with this, so I'm trying to exaggerate a little bit. But it's that, you know, it's the sensual temporal goods that we need to get under control. And so we need to practice temperance, of course, we need to call on that cardinal virtue. We'll get into more of this after this first break. But when I want to come back from this break, I want to talk about, okay, we fall into sin, now what? We fell to sin, now what? Okay, you know we got to get to confession. But let's talk about that time in between the fall and confession. Who's talking about that? I don't think anybody's talking about it. Let's talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned. I hope you'll be with us on this program today. If you want to call in and have a comment, we welcome that, of course, 215-345-1570. Otherwise, I will be sharing my thoughts on this and how I best cope with this and what the Holy Mother Church has to say about it through her catechism. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition. Their mission is to provide financial support to area crisis pregnancy homes and centers and educate the community regarding sanctity of life issues from conception until natural death.
The Mom and Tots Cafe at St. Raymond of Pennefort Parish invite you to the Moms Group meeting the last Saturday of each month. They're coming together for fellowship, friendship, to share tips, prayers, and snacks. Light breakfast and hot beverages will be available. All taking place at St. Raymond of Pennefort Parish, 1350 Vernon Road in Philadelphia. If you have any questions, please call 267-225-8268.
In the Divine Praises, we say the words, "Blessed be Jesus Christ, true God and true man."
A Manly Minute with Mark Houck of the Kingsmen.
Authentic masculinity begins and ends with Jesus. The blueprint for authentic manhood is found in the Gospels. Read Sacred Scripture, brothers, and you will grow in the knowledge of what it means to be a man. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." In Luke, he says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Becoming authentically masculine means submitting to God's power and the humility of the cross. Jesus Christ is the true leader, protector, and provider. and the only authentic witness to masculinity. Lord Jesus, help us to be more like you.
For more information on authentic masculinity, visit thekingsmen.org.
Okay, here we are once again, live here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown. Mark Houck, your host, also on 1420 Chester County, Coatesville. Here with you live today, the Kingsmen radio program, talking about sin and the wages of sin and how we best cope with sin after we've sinned. I'm 42 years of age. I've never, ever heard a priest, a bishop, a teacher, in any of my years of 22 years of private Catholic education, talk about the time after the fall and the time of confession. It's always been get to confession. After you sin, we should always make an act of contrition. Whether you venial sin, you're uncharitable towards somebody, you're gossiping about somebody, you're lying, whatever you're doing of a venial nature. What's venial sin? Just a reminder. Allows charities to always subsist in us, even though it offends and wounds us. But it doesn't destroy that life of grace in us, like mortal does. But regardless, venial sin, mortal sin, mortal sin destroys the charity in our heart. This is Catechism, paragraph 1855. Destroys charity in the heart of man by a grave violation of God's law. Ten Commandments we break, right? It turns man away from God, who is his ultimate end, his beatitude, by preferring an inferior good to him. Okay, so whether we sin mortally or sin venially, we should always make an act of contrition. Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended you. I detest all my sins because I fear the loss of heaven and the pains of hell, but most of all, because I offended you, my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve, with the help of your grace, to confess my sins, do penance, and to amend my life. Amen. So after we sin, we should always do that. Always make an act, a good act of contrition. And be truly sincere about that. I did it again. Let me confess to the Lord right now as best I can, because I'm not in, we don't have the luxury of a priest standing right next to us after we've committed a sin, and we can go right to confession right away, okay? Sometimes we have to wait a little bit. That's the part I'm saying I've never really heard anyone talk about. That wait time. Now, my advice has always been to men, when you fall to sin in your life, make the time that you fall and the time that you get to sacrament of reconciliation, make that time as close to zero as possible. That's my best counsel to someone who's trying to deal and manage their sin in their life. Get to confession as soon. Don't walk around with sin on your soul, even if it's venial sin, because there's venial sins beget more venial sins. Again, sin begets sin. So in paragraph 1861, the Catechism, it says mortal sin, though. Let's talk about the mortal for a second. Says St. John said, some sins are more deadly than others in his epistle. Mortal sin is a radical possibility of human freedom. Mortal sin is a radical possibility of human freedom, as is love itself. Okay, so all men are capable of mortal sin. All men. When I say men, I mean men and women, right? It results in the loss of charity and the privation of sanctifying grace. Well, this is important. That is, of the state of grace. In other words, your soul is no longer in a state of grace. Okay? You lose that life of grace. Doesn't mean you don't have the ability to receive God's love. See, I think this is confusing to some people. When they hear that they're not in a state of grace, that means somehow God is not in their life anymore, or God can't communicate with them, or God can't work in their life. No, that's not what the Holy Mother Church teaches. What it's saying is there's a privation of sanctifying grace. The sanctifying grace that enables us, if we die, to be in the company of God. See, if you die not in a state of grace, hell is the only destination. Okay, so we're not in that state of grace. If it is not redeemed by repentance and God's forgiveness, again, this is a catechism, 1861, it causes exclusion from Christ's kingdom and the eternal death of hell. For our freedom has the power to make choices forever. That's what he's saying. Mortal sin is the possibility given our freedom, human freedom, our free will. And there is no turning back, the catechism says. There is no turning back. I don't know about you, but somehow there's this rhetoric that somehow, if we don't die in a state of grace, that somehow God at our judgment is going to give us this get out of jail free card. Okay, do you repent now? Do you repent now? You see me? Do you repent now? Look, the teaching of the church is if you die not in a state of grace, there is no second chance. It is hell. It is your only destination. It is the choice you have made with your life. God gives us the opportunity in this life to freely choose him and to repent in this life. There's not this like final repentance, like somehow, okay, I'm going to die and I'm going to live like a hellion, but somehow God in his infinite divine mercy is going to say, when he sees me and my judgment, do you love me? And do you accept me now? See, people might say, how can you say that, Mark? Do you have any private revelation that tells you what God will see? No, I don't. But I have what Holy Mother Church teaches. And Holy Mother Church teaches that if you die not in a state of grace, brothers and sisters in Christ, that you have made your choice. That God doesn't damn anyone. Right? We damn ourselves. That we will choose hell rather than to be in the company of God. See, this is what the Catechism is saying here at 1861, that it causes exclusion from Christ's kingdom. There's nothing that God can do for you anymore. Remember Jesus is talking in the parable about the poor man Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man dies, and Lazarus has already died. And the rich man can see Lazarus, but there's this chasm between him and the rich man, right? And you know, he's trying to get to Lazarus and let me dip my finger in his tongue or so he can have the solace of that. And he said, no, you in your life had things that Lazarus didn't have. You had good things, right? You have made your choice. Okay, there's no going back. You cannot get over this chasm. Right? That what is Christ saying? He's demonstrating what is happening here. Well, let me at least go back and warn my brothers, the rich man says. He says, look, if they're not going to listen to Abraham and Moses, they're not going to listen to anyone returning from the dead. So they have the prophets. They have Abraham. They have Moses. They must listen to them. So Christ is saying, look, this is it. This is the teachings. Repent. Now is the time. Repent. Right? We just had the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan with John. Repent. That's John's message. Repent, repent, repent. And so as we talk about sin and we talk about mortal sin and venial sin, okay, once we've committed sin, we must make that good act of contrition. Okay, that's just standard operating procedure, right? That's protocol. All right. Now what do? In between the time that you get to confession. And I've been praying a lot about this. And we all deal with this. But also, do we think that somehow God is not able to work in our lives? You're kidding yourself. No, God is God. He is above all sin. He can do anything he wants. Now, the sanctifying grace isn't there. Again, that state of grace. But God can still, through grace, move our heart to repentance, move us to great acts of love, great acts of charity. I think what happens to a lot of us after we sin, we get really down on ourselves. We feel really low, and rightfully so. We've offended God. We fall into something again. Maybe it's a habitual sin that we're just so weary of, so tired of, and we're just really down on ourselves. We feel terrible. I think of the many men who struggle with the issue of pornography, for instance. They get really, broken up about the fall, and women too, right? There's a lot of women that struggle with about the fall to sins of the flesh. Augustine was broken up. St. Augustine was extremely broken up about that and very conflicted about it. Well, what happens when that happens? We get emotionally run down. We're emotionally vulnerable. And we want to take ourselves out of that feeling of, oh, I'm a wretch. I'm unlovable. I did it again. God doesn't love me. I'm such a sinner. And we start to have this negative self-talk. I think this is the work of the devil. I think the devil wants us to do this. I think the devil, Satan, and his angels want us to talk like this to ourselves. Yeah, see, God will never forgive you. Yeah, might as well just do it again because this is as good as it's going to get. And we start to hear this language, this accusation, these things coming from a dark, dark place. How do you combat that? You have to do this, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. You have to say, I am a child of God. I am loved. I am loved in a state of grace and in not a state of grace. You see, I am loved as much as I am in a state of grace as I am not in a state of grace. Do you embrace that fact? The fact that God loves you at any state that you're in, infinitely, as much as he does. Now, obviously, he wants us in a state of grace, and he can certainly powerfully move through us and use, and we can walk with God and be united in his will. And, you know, it's easier for God to do that when we're in a state of grace. But when we are not in a state of grace, you know, it's more our end that's the problem, not his end. But we have to embrace the truth that we're loved, that we're a beloved son of God, just like we heard at Mass the other day. You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So here's what you need to say to yourself after you fall. I'm a beloved son and God is pleased with me. I'm a beloved son. And keep telling yourself that. Keep walking in that love. Keep living in that love. And keep moving in the direction of love until you get to confession. Now, you don't always have the luxury to get right to confession. Now, make an effort to get to confession as soon as possible, right? Now, unfortunately, in our modern churches, confession's offered at church once a week, typically, on a Saturday, from the hours of 3:30 to 4:30. Well, not everybody has that opening in their schedule sometimes. Maybe you feel people have to work on Saturdays or whatever. But what do? Oh, just forget it. Just bag it. No, of course not. You make an appointment with the priest. You call up your rectory and you say, hi, Father, I'm working this Saturday. I'd like to go to confession, but I'm not going to be around. I'd like to get to confession. I'm not in a good state. And I'd like to set up an appointment. Can I come in this evening? Let's say it's Tuesday. No, tonight's not good for me, Mark. How about tomorrow morning? I can't work for. How about tomorrow afternoon? Oh, yeah, that'll work. Great. You set up an appointment. And Father will be happy to see you. Now, there's multiple priests at the parish. So maybe one would be able to see you versus another. But or maybe you feel more comfortable with another than so be it. Just take whoever you can get, right? So, but the great news, here we are in Doylestown. We're right down the road from the Shrine of Częstochowa. At every Mass at the Shrine of Częstochowa, they have the Sacrament of Reconciliation. What a gift to us here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. I used to find out where all these were. So I know that I can always count on confession being available to me every day if I needed it at the Shrine. Now, on Mondays at the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Germantown, they have confession offered as well. I got familiar with that schedule as well. So I travel around in my journey and pursuit, and still do today, of holiness in constant search of where I can find confession. Now, sometimes I'll wait this Saturday if that makes sense. As St. John Paul II would encourage us, we should confess our venial sins. John Paul would encourage us to do that. It's a good and holy thing. Just because you're not in a state of mortal sin doesn't mean you shouldn't go to confession. I would recommend that you're not in a state of mortal sin that you go once a month, at minimum, once a month. Now, in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, it says, the righteous man sins seven times a day. The righteous man sins. The righteous man. Now, Scripture tells us that none are righteous, although that St. Joseph was a righteous man, a just man. Clearly set apart, St. Joseph was. But the righteous man, so let's just say St. Joseph, he sinned 7 times a day. Was he sinning mortally? Who knows? We weren't there. Point of the matter is you're falling and you're sinning and you're committing sins of omission every single day. Things you should be doing that you're not doing, right? You may not be aware of it, but there's things that you're called to do. Acts of charity, acts of love, corporal and spiritual works of mercy, you know, things that we have to do on a daily, praying, honoring God, putting him first, you know, it's not fantasy football before God. So as we transition from the fall to confession, we have this attitude adjustment. I really think it's an attitude adjustment. We need to say, okay, I'm not going to sin again, or at least in that manner. And I'm going to live in love, and I'm going to make good decisions. And I'm going to live as if I'm in a state of grace. You have to make that cognitive, like, proclamation to yourself. I declare before God and man that I am a beloved son, right? You say that to yourself, and I will live in that love, and I will act accordingly. I think you have to do that, because I think if you don't do that, you fall back into your sin. Right? Because you feel terrible, you feel awful. And it's just easy when you feel awful to be around misery. And misery loves company. And the devil wants our company. And he wants to tempt us and tease us and accuse us and pull us right back into it again. And he wants to give us death. He wants us to die spiritually. He wants us to die to ourselves. So much so, by the time we get to confession, whatever it is, we don't even believe that we can be forgiven because we've been so embracing the lie. I mean, that happens to people. We're going to go to our second break here now. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about how we best actualize this in our life. I want to get into a little bit of darkness, too. I want to talk about some of the darker sins, but not going into too much detail. A little warning, I guess, to the young audiences out there. We're going to talk about little things that, you know, you might want to just turn the radio down or something. But it's not going to be scandalous. We're just going to talk about, you know, the sins of the church, the things that the church talk about, adultery and things like that, that, of course, Jesus talks about. But, you know, the stuff that we really need to work through and reconcile, especially today in this culture. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Prepare for the 100th anniversary of Our Lady's apparitions in Fatima by making a journey with Mary this winter. The St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, founded by Dr. Scott Hahn, has partnered with the Archdiocese of Philadelphia to offer a limited free time access to its new video Bible study series, The Bible and the Virgin Mary. You can access this 12-part series online at no cost beginning January 18th. Sign up at BibleAndTheVirginMary.com/Philadelphia.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
My dear sisters in Christ, are you in need of healing? Are you suffering in silence about your current or past trauma? Then it's time to seek some healing from the Divine Physician. Hi, I'm Mark Houck, founder of the Judith Healing Retreat for Women, and I invite you to join your fellow sisters in Christ in seeking healing for your pain. Join our dynamic Judith leader team for a weekend like no other. Nestled at the cozy and comfortable Fatima House in Bucks County, the Judith Retreat is a unique experience that is designed to gently bring women to a place of hope and lasting peace. Drawing on the 7 sorrows of Mary and the Old Testament heroine Judith, women will be brought through a 4-day, 3-night journey that has proven to provide healing in the lives of women of all ages. If this sounds like something you could benefit from, then I invite you to visit judithretreat.com to learn more.
Healer of my soul.
right, we're back. Mark Halk, the Kingsmen radio program here, Holy Spirit Radio. Trying another mic here. Hopefully it's a little bit better listening for you. We're talking about sin and the wages of sin today. Isn't that a fun show? we're just talking about coping with sin. I think it's our reality. And here we are trying to impart some wisdom from Holy Mother Church and also some pragmatic approaches to dealing with our emotional instability after we sin. I think that's important. I think a lot of men struggle, and the Kingsman is a men's apostle, so I work with a lot of men. They struggle with how they feel about themselves. Their self-concept, their self-worth is very damaged after sin. And they start to define themselves by their sin. You are not defined by your sin, brother in Christ. Sister in Christ, you're not defined by your sin. In other words, that's not who you are. You are a child of God, a daughter of the Most High God, a son of the Most High God. You are in the kingdom family of God, entitled to great things, granted great dignity, infinitely loved, you see. In sin or out of sin, in a state of grace or not in a state of grace, you are loved. Now, in this culture, we have a lot of temptations. We are in a hyper-sexualized culture. A lot of young men, a lot of young women, a lot of men of all ages are being consumed by the culture of death. And when I say that, I mean the Hollywood rhetoric message, the sex sells message. All right. I deal with this a lot at the Kingsmen Apostolate. I deal with a lot of men who are struggling with sins of the flesh, much like Augustine, believing that they're going to find happiness, that it's going to bring them to fulfillment. They've bought into the lies. All right. We're talking about how we cope with, let's say, a fall to those things. We have to reject the lie. We have to pray for a deep hatred of our sin. You have to do that, brother and sister in Christ. You don't want to sin the way you've been sinning. Let's say it's falling to sins of the flesh. Then pray for a deep hatred of that sin. Make a novena that you will be granted a deep hatred of that sin so that you detest it, that you will do everything in your power to avoid it. So when we fall to it, we're not embracing it like this is who I am, but we say quite the opposite. This is not who I am. I am not made for this. I am made for so much more. And I embrace the truth that is granted to me at my baptism, that I am a child of God, that I am beloved, and I live in that love. And even though I'm not in a state of grace right now, I still remain in that love. Even though I'm not in a state of grace, even though if I die today, I will go straight to hell. But I'm going to live in the reality that I am loved even in the midst of all this, which you are, infinitely, and that God can still work through me. He can still use me, and he can still call me. The Spirit can still prompt me and move my heart to greater acts of contrition and love and charity towards others. And he will, and you believe that he will, and you can be loving. I find that often when I'm not in a state of grace, that I'm mean, I'm miserable, I'm short with other people. My patience is not great. See, you've got to choose against this. You got to choose love. You got to choose joy. Even though you feel terrible about yourself, that doesn't give you a right to mistreat other people. Just because you feel terrible about yourself, what do you think God is thinking in that regard? He wants you to still be loving. He wants you to still choose Christ. You can still choose Christ, not in a state of grace, right? You can still choose to pray to God to worship him. You can't receive the sacrament of the Eucharist, okay? Because you're not in a worthy manner to receive it. But he can. You can still pray to him. You can still ask for mercy. You can still ask for good things. You can still ask for prayers for other people. Why is it when we're in a state of grace, we just kind of shut down all things spiritually? We shut it all down as if like somehow we've flatlined. We've totally flatlined and everything just stops. I think it's because we're out of whack. We're out of sorts and we've never really been coached through this. Well, let's get coached up. Stay focused. Move forward. Continue to do good things. And honor your God with your next choice. You follow? You have to declare that. You have to say, I'm going to do this. And don't you think God is pleased with that? Of course he is. He wants you to do that. He wants you to not dwell on your sin. He wants you to go forward. Don't dwell on your sin. I would say dwell on your sin for no more than 5 minutes, maybe 5 seconds, but how about 5 minutes? I'll give you a good 5 minutes. If you want to feel bad for 5 minutes, and then let it go. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have to surrender that. You have to let go. Well, how do you do that, Mark? You just do it. You say, Lord, I surrender. I give it over to you. And I give up. See, a lot of people say, I give up. I can't do this. No, 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 no. God's not going to take your free will away. You don't give up, you give over. You give it over to God. You place it at the foot of the cross. He wants you to present your sinfulness, your brokenness, your wounds, your pain, your hurts right there. He will do that for you once you've given it over. He's not going to take it from you. Well, obviously, I just give up. I can't do this. I'm an addict. I'm this. You label yourself and you're just like, there's no hope for me. You know, it's such a despairing thought when people say, oh, there's no hope for me. Oh, I'm beyond help. You know, these are self-fulfilling prophecies. These are things we tell ourselves so that we can cope with our reality. But there's no one in this world that's not without help. God is always there to extend himself in the lowest of places to help us be redeemed again. And so we must persevere. So in those 2, 3, 4, 5 days in between your fall and your act of contrition and going to confession, you must begin to wage war against the evil one who's going to tell you you're an awful person, who's going to tell you, yeah, no one loves you, and that sin is who you are. You tell Satan and that lie to go back where it came from, which is the pits of hell, and that's straight from the pits of hell. You tell that all that rhetoric to go back there, and you go live in love and move forward. Saint Junipero Serra, just canonized last year, right? Junipero Serra, always forward. That was his motto, always forward. You keep moving forward. Now, when we're talking about sins of the flesh, it can get pretty dark. In the last 15 minutes, I put out the disclaimer, it gets pretty dark. You go to some dark places. There's a lot of disorders. You know, St. John is right. Some sins are more deadly than others. Our Lady, to the Fatima children, she said this to the 3 Fatima children, that there are more souls that fall into hell each day as a result of sins of the flesh. More souls. So when we talk about, you know, grave matter, this is the biggie. This is the biggie. I mean, 90% of confessions for men are dealing with sins of the flesh. A lot of women confess in these things. There's a lot of temptation, a lot of confusion out there. It gets dark. It gets more and more dark. I tell men, you know, who have been looking at pornography for years, and they'll say, well, you know, it's not as bad as this. Or they'll hear a story, and it's not as bad as that guy. I said, look, where were you 10 years ago? Do you remember what you were doing 10 years ago in this regard, in this area of unchastity? What did it look like? Was it different than it was today? Has it gotten worse in 10 years? And 10 out of 10 people would say, yeah, it's gotten worse. Of course it gets worse. Sin begets sin. It gets more and more perverse and deviant and disordered. Okay, so brother, sister in Christ, 10 years ago, you were at a different place. Your sin has gotten worse. What do you think it's going to be like 10 years from now? Why am I bringing this up? Because the urgency to deal with the wages of sin cannot be impressed upon you, dear listener, enough. Make a standing appointment with your Lord. If you're struggling with sin, get to confession as often as possible. I would say once a week if you're in the throes of a habitual sin. Try and get there once a week. Stay in a state of grace. And at minimum, get to confession once a month. That's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. But if you're in the midst of a deep-seated disorder, whether it be homosexuality, pornography, you name it, grave matter, you got to get to confession more often. You do. And you have to practice that ritual of living in love. I'm a beloved son. And not allowing your negative self-talk to keep sucking you deeper and deeper into the darkness. Because it gets pretty dark. Now, of late, I must say that I have become, my mind has been opened to an even darker reality about this issue of pornography. We'll be fighting the Wing Bowl again this year. We're going to go there. I hear the Wing Bowl is the final year for it. We'll talk about that on February, whatever the Friday is before Super Bowl Sunday. We'll be out there lighting candles again. That's debauchery. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, the sins of the flesh, they've been around forever. I was just reading in the Saints and the Magnificat about the saints this month, or all the saints that went to those in the margin, the marginalized, Christ. There's one saint that I read 2 days ago, I think it was. He was a saint, and I forget his name, but he lived as a hermit, I think, and he'd work during the day, and the money in the evening that he earned, he would go. Now, this is a special call, and it said he had a special call. He would go and contract, I guess, a prostitute for the evening. This is a saint now. And he'd pay the wages that I guess the prostitute would ask for. And he'd sit with her, and he'd pray and sit beside her and pray hymns and pray with her. And that's what he would do with her for the evening, for all night. This was his special call. I would say almost everybody who's listening to me right now does not have this call. Okay, so don't think that somehow you're going to go contract a prostitute and become the saint. This is a very supernatural call. But nonetheless, case in point, he would go and he would be with the marginalized. And these women had conversions. Now people, it would lend a little bit of scandal. People would see him leaving in the morning and they didn't know who did it, but maybe a pimp or someone who was not happy with him ultimately clubbed him and ultimately beat him to the point of death. And he did die. So, but I share that story with you because it can get that dark for some people. I mean, a prostitute, it's pretty dark. They're usually addicted to drugs. They're usually very wounded. And they're coping and medicating their pain through very negative ways. And someone who's soliciting a prostitute, it's very dark. But I'll tell you, friends, recently something else has been brought to my attention, that it gets more and more deviant. The more we embrace the sins in our life, especially sins of the flesh, if we're talking about the issue of pornography, it gets more and more deviant. And there's a lot of men and a lot of women who are caught up in that industry. Billion-dollar industry. Billions of dollars that the Kingsmen have been exposing for years. We've been a part of the closing of 15 sexually oriented businesses. Praise God. Simply by exercising our First Amendment rights, going out to a sexually oriented business and praying. Praying in front of these places, much like we do at the abortion mills. Praying for healing. Praying for hope. Ministering. Offering another way. And so that's where we've been on the margin. But quite recently, I've been made aware through multiple connections within our apostolate that men are falling into child porn. Yes, I know. It's very dark. This is a $3 billion industry. $3 billion. Over 50% of all of this is coming from the United States. Coming from the United States. Now, friends, just do the math. The largest denomination in the church in the West, in the United States, is Catholic Roman Holy Roman Catholic Church. Right? So, how many is it? Billion Catholics? What is it? A billion Catholics worldwide? I don't know what the number is. You got to say to yourself that some of this is coming from some people, some of the people in the Catholic Church, some people, some sinners like you and me. We need to reach out to them. How do we do that? I don't know, friends. I'm praying about it. I don't know how this happens. All I know is that it's really dark. It's really dark, and that sin begets sin, and it gets more and more dark. And so we need to pray for the victims of these things, the young children. We need to pray for them. We need to reach out in our prayer life to them and ask God to send someone to be in the margin, to minister, to bring hope. And again, in the midst of the fall, whatever that is, whatever your sin is, live in that love that I'm a beloved son, and move forward, making good choices. Again, God can still work through you, use you. Embrace that truth and live in that love. I know this show's been a different one, but a very important one, that you would think about these things, reflect on these things in our own lives. There's root sins. What is my root sin? Sensuality, pride, vanity. Combat it. Virtue, chastity, humility, temperance, fortitude. All those wonderful gifts. We'll talk next time. Actually, next time, as I said, I'll be preempted by the March for Life coverage. EWTN. We'll be back in second week of February. I guess that's around Valentine's Day or so. All right. Till then, God bless you.